We have Sharon from Rancho San Diego.
Hi, Bob. I have a question for you that has kind of been on my mind for quite a while. Could I switch gears for one second?
Sure.
I have a neighbor that I've been talking to, and she's a non-Christian, but she's open. She's very open-minded.
Okay.
And she posed a question to us on a hike we were on once recently. She asked if what I would say as a Christian, what my argument would be relative to premarital sex.
Mm.
I tell her from a Christian point of view that what she's doing is wrong when she knows she's going to marry the man that she's been dating and having sex with for 5 years. And
right.
She never had sex before, and this is the one, and so what's wrong with it?
Well, you may have heard me mention this earlier on the program. We were on another subject, but I mentioned that Jesus said that all the commands of God fall under this very broad category. It's what we commonly call the golden rule. You would have people treat you, treat them. Now, I had a fellow come by my book table once at the University of California, San Diego. And he was aware that the Bible did forbid sex outside of marriage, which it clearly does in the 7th chapter of Corinthians. He was aware that the Bible said that, but that didn't make sense to him. He thought it was old-fashioned and behind the times. And I said to him, well, do you believe in this principle, that you should treat other people the way you want to be treated? In other words, you should treat people in an unselfish manner. He says, of course. I said, well, if I could show you that having sex outside of marriage was a selfish thing to do, then would you agree with God that it's wrong? He says, yeah, but you won't be able to show me that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, well, do you have any standards at all about sex? Is there any discrimination about when it would be appropriate? And he says, well, yeah, I don't think it would be right to sleep with a harlot or a prostitute. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, well, that's interesting. So, okay, now why would that be wrong? Well, because that cheapens it, and I think it should be done in love. I said, well, that's a very big standard. It should be done in love? Mm-hmm. He says, yeah, but I have a girlfriend. He says, what's wrong with having sex with my girlfriend as long as I love her? Now, I gave him an answer that might surprise you. I said, there's nothing wrong with having sex with your girlfriend as long as you love her. Now, hold on, everybody. I know that right now every Christian that's listening to this is clutching their chest, grabbing the phone. They want this heretic off the air, including you. Okay. But hold on, because you haven't heard the whole conversation yet. And when it's over, I think we can all relax and you'll realize that we have the same standard. I just took what I'd call a backdoor approach to the person. And now he himself was more flabbergasted than anybody. He said, really? Nothing? He goes, well, gee, you're more open-minded than some of the Christians I talk. I said, well, I'm not done yet. I have a question for you. When you say that you love your girlfriend, what do you mean? What do I mean? Yeah, what do you mean? Well, yeah, I love her, that's all. I said, well, is love just a feeling, or is there some kind of commitment involved with this love? Do you mean when you say you love her that you love her as long as she's good-looking? That if she got into a car accident and her face got disfigured, you wouldn't love her anymore? Do you mean that you love her until you meet somebody more attractive? You mean you love her temporarily and someday you might leave this woman that you've been so intimate with? And all of a sudden he realized that maybe he didn't love his girlfriend as much as he thought he did, that without commitment there's no such thing as love. So then he says, okay, well, supposing I were more committed to her and supposing I promised that I'd never be with anybody other than her. I said, well, if you're going to make that promise, you're talking about marriage.
Right.
What else is marriage other than a promise that you're going to spend the rest of your life with her, regardless of how she looks, regardless of any problems you have financially, regardless of any problems emotionally, regardless of any communication problems? That's me. He goes, okay, but can't we just have that understanding? Why does it have to be public? I said, well, what, is it a secret? Are you going to go into a singles bar and not wear your wedding ring and so that women will think you're not married and start flirting with you? I mean, if you really feel this way, and that's your honest feeling, why be unwilling to be public about it? He goes, okay, well, yeah, sure, we'll be public about it, but why do we have to have a marriage license? Isn't a marriage license just a silly, stupid piece of paper? I said, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. The marriage license is just a piece of paper. Without the commitment before God, without the commitment before people, the marriage license means nothing. It's just a piece of paper. So since we know that, since it's just a silly little piece of paper, since the important thing is the commitment before God and people, and you're willing to do that anyway, then obviously you're not going to have any problem signing a marriage license because you just told me yourself it's no big deal. It's just a piece of paper. You should have seen the look on his face. Suddenly he realized that that piece of paper meant something. So
right.
Everybody all over the country listening can relax now. I did not tell him it was okay to have sex outside of marriage. I told him that if he had sex outside of marriage, he did not love his girlfriend. And that if he really loved her, then he would marry her.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, I like your backdoor approach and all.
Well, you know, with just a little bit of patience, you know, we can't just quote scripture at people. We can't just say, well, God says so. Not that God doesn't have a right to do that. God does say so. And whether I understand it or not, I'd be foolish not to obey God. But the truth is, morality is something God wants us to understand. And God has good reasons. See, God's not this celestial killjoy who doesn't want us to have sex because sex isn't fun. God's not this diehard that comes down and says, all right, everybody out of the pool, you're enjoying yourselves too much. God created sex. There's a whole book in the Bible called the Song of Solomon that's nothing but a sensuous love sonnet between a man and a woman. Sex is fine, but God's also concerned about hurt feelings. I remember hearing two young ladies, I was having lunch in one of the commons at University of Santa Barbara, and two people were talking. They didn't know I could overhear them. I didn't get the impression that these were Christian women, but it was interesting to hear their standards, because one woman had had a one-night stand with a guy, and she says, I just don't understand. We did something so personal, so intimate, and that he could do that with me one time and never call me again. I just don't understand it. That's cruel. Well, nobody needed to quote the scripture to tell her that premarital sex had been wrong. So I really believe that in our consciences, we agree with God's standards, because it's one standard, as you would have people treat you, treat them. Whenever somebody brings up anything in the Bible that's a sin and they ask why it's a sin, get them to see how it fits with Jesus' golden rule. Because if you can show them that it's selfish, there's nobody that's going to argue that they ought to be selfish. Oh, they'll say we should have positive self-esteem. But selfishness, looking out for ourselves at somebody else's expense, everybody knows that's wrong. Everybody. Yeah. And we've got to show people that God's standards are fair. And indeed, God's standards are already our standards, even before we become Christians. We may not be living up to them, but the standards are there in our conscience.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Well, thank you.
That was an excellent question.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you, Sharon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.